Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Is your life today consecrated to the Lord, or cluttered with the things of this world? Is your heart devoted to Jesus, or divided? Are you passionate about Him, or passive? Please listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his discussion of Christ's millennial kingdom and challenges us to consider our ways in his concluding remarks concerning Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
Another book that has incredible prophecies regarding this kingdom to come is in the book of Daniel. And again, just read the whole book of Daniel. But in chapter 2, verse 44, it says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, that kingdom, shall stand forever." Of course, you know that King Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream of future world Gentile kingdoms. Daniel was given by God the gift to interpret what those kingdoms were. They're likened to metals in chapter 2. They're likened to beasts in chapter 7. And they represent the four Gentile kingdoms that will be in power on earth: Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And the last kingdom that will be on earth will be a revived Roman Empire. It could be, it may be, the European Union, but it most definitely will be a revived Roman Empire. And Daniel speaks about an event that takes place at the end of the Great Tribulation period, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the stone made without hands, crushes these human kingdoms and sets up his kingdom upon the earth, a literal, physical, thousand-year kingdom. So you're sitting here this morning and saying, okay, what does that have to do with me now? I'm glad you asked the question. Turn to Luke chapter 19 and Matthew chapter 25. And again, reading these entire chapters in context, within the context of the chapter, within the context of the book itself, within the context of all of Scripture. Luke 19 and Matthew chapter 25. Luke is the parable of the pounds. Matthew is the parable of the talents. So we're going to be going back and forth for a few minutes on these two chapters. Luke 19. First of all, verse 13. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come." And Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 15, we read, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey." I want you to notice that in both of those parables, we learn that we are, by God, given talents, abilities, and opportunities to serve him and to bring him glory. This is what is known in Scripture as stewardship. All that you and I have, all that we are, has been given to us from God. The gifts, the talents, the abilities, he gives each and every one of us a same 24-hour period every day. And we are all called to be wise stewards of those things, seeking by God's grace to invest all of our lives in the kingdom of God. Now notice with me in Luke chapter 19, verses 15 through 17. Notice something with me here. Luke 19, verses 15 through 17. "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. In Matthew chapter 25, we read in verses 20 and 21. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want you to notice this morning, saints, that in both parables, those who invested their lives and God-given resources to serve the Lord and further his kingdom were rewarded with some sort of ability to rule over cities. Now, my dear brothers and sisters who differ in that interpretation of the literal 1,000-year kingdom would say to you and me this morning that these 2 parables are promises for eternity. Either way, the conclusion is the same for us here and now. What's that? What you and I do now counts forever. Either way. You get that? Either way, what you and I do now counts forever. There are rewards and blessings that await those who devote his or her life for the service of the Lord Jesus, both, I believe, on earth during the kingdom and in the eternal state. So what's the point this morning? What's the conclusion this morning? That you and I only get to invest in the future kingdom now. You don't get to invest in the future kingdom after you die. Now is the only time you and I are given to invest in this future kingdom. And God would admonish us this morning as a church family not to forfeit what is eternal for what is temporary. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord Jesus would say to the Koinonia Fellowship family this morning, use all of the time and all of the talents and all of the resources and all of the opportunities that I have given unto you for me and for my glory. He would say to you and me this morning, occupy till I come. He would say to you and I this morning, redeem the time. He would say to you and I this morning, set your affections on things above. He would say to you and I this morning, I am sure, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, one of the things that has so reignited in my heart this way of thinking is because in preparing to teach this to you guys, I have learned and God has showed me from his word that what you and I do now does have a blessing awaiting us for the future. You see, we're all busy. Lives are as busy as they've ever been, probably more busy than it's ever been, okay? But I really believe that one of the reasons why many Christians tend to get so hung up on the here and now, why many Christians tend to pursue all the temporal comforts and perks of this present life is because we rarely take the time to study about the kingdom age and meditate on what lies ahead for us as Christians if we would prioritize our time accordingly. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is saving the best wine for the kingdom. And how many people want to get it all now? The comforts, the toys, the perks. I love that quote from Jim Elliot. You probably have heard it. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. God has given to each and every one of us talents, abilities, and opportunities to serve him and to bring him glory. And when our lives put the things of God's kingdom first, there is a deep sense of gratification and purpose, because this is why we were created and this is why we've been redeemed. That's the unfortunate thing about those who interpret these promises of God for the here and now. And there are many promises of God that we benefit from, but the best is yet to come. Beloved, everything that you or I could ever imagine wanting lies ahead for us in the kingdom. That's one of the things the Lord spoke to my heart. Raymond, when you get into the kingdom, you are going to be so filled with joy as you put me first. Just think of your greatest dreams, your greatest desires. Everything that you and I could ever imagine lies ahead for those who consecrate their lives totally to the Lord and to his kingdom. Remember that Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes? Of course you do. That's the book that, in addition to the word that is the main theme, vanity, has another word that's not in there, bummer. And that's because this is the life of a man who had been raised with biblical principles by King David, and yet he thought, you know what? This, let's just contemporize it. This church thing is a bit boring. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to just seek for fun and fulfillment and read the whole book. Was it fun? Was it fulfilling? No. In fact, Solomon called his pursuit for life under the sun vanity, emptiness. He ends the book by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, what is our life to be all about? Fearing the Lord. And that word fear doesn't mean to be afraid of him. It means that you and I are overwhelmed at his love and of his grace and of his forgiveness. And in light of that, responding to the cross, Lord, my life is yours. My life is totally yours. Everything I am, everything that I'm not, everything belongs to you, Lord. And he says, when you and I make that decision, we begin to enter into a life that is fruitful, that is worthwhile. It's interesting how in the book of Haggai, and I've been reading the post-exilic prophets the last couple of weeks, very, very blessed and challenged. The book of Haggai, the people of God were living in Babylon. And by this time, those who were in captivity, they were settling in to the things of the world, to the ways of the world. And there in Jerusalem was a temple that was in shambles. And it was a temple that was in disrepair. Now, you and I in the New Testament are that temple. And the Lord raised up these post-exilic prophets, among whom was Haggai. And Haggai challenged the people of God with these words, therefore, now, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And he drew the contrasts in the first and second chapter of Haggai. Great, powerful, powerful book. He says, you have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you're always hungry. You drink, but you're always thirsty. You put clothes on, but you never have enough. You earn wages, and you put it into a bag with holes. Wrong priorities. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Now, when I hear the Lord saying that to me this morning, I don't hear him saying like this, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Think about what we've learned this morning. Think about the kingdom to come. Think about this and ask yourself a few questions. These are questions that I've asked myself. Is my life today consecrated to the Lord or cluttered with the things of this world? Devoted? Is my heart devoted or is my heart divided? Am I passionate for the things of the Lord or am I passive? Do I find myself reading the Word of God and responding to the cross, involving and investing my life? Or do I find myself when the Word of God is being read, rolling my eyes, and separating myself from the things of the kingdom? 1 John 3:3 says, he that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Is my heart, my home, my marriage becoming more pure? Or is my life becoming more polluted with the things of this world? Biblical questions, serious questions. The Lord is coming, and there's a word that he says. One word. Watch. Watch for what? He didn't say watch out. So watch. And as you and I have our eye on the scripture, and you and I read the signs of the times, there's this sense that every generation has had that the Lord is coming soon. Obviously, he's 2,000 years closer to coming than he was. It's interesting to me how in the Old Testament, many times, a man like Abraham, whenever he was to step into a deeper dimension or revelation of God, there would be what? An altar. He would build an altar, and at that altar, it would signify a place or a time where God revealed to him something fresh, something new. And my prayer this morning is that we as a church family and we individually, that today would be an altar, so to speak, where God would, by his Spirit, speak to our hearts. And you know that when he speaks, it's never condemning, it's never critical, it's never to manipulate, but he does know how to ignite a fire within us, doesn't he? And he does know how to reveal things that may be out of order. Maybe today you want to establish an altar. You can do that sitting right in your chair. Lord, I just sense in my heart that I just want to make that full consecration, that full surrender to you. You know what really blessed me during the first service worship? The Lord is so, well, I don't need to tell you guys, know it. I'm preaching to the choir. The Lord is so good, isn't he? So gracious. He is so beautiful. He is so wonderful. And I just knew that there was something, Lord, there's something that I want to close with, and I don't have it in my heart. You got something for me? And these guys are worshiping, and he gives it to me. I love it when he does that. I love it. I get so excited when he does that. And it's this. Do you know what the first words are of Jesus in the Bible? And you know what the last words are of Jesus in the Bible? They fit in perfectly with our application thought today. First words of Jesus in the Bible, Luke chapter 2. You know this story. His parents go up to Jerusalem. It's the feast of Passover. He's 12 years old. And when the feast was over, Joseph and Mary take off. They think that he's in the entourage. They go a day's journey away. And when they couldn't find him, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. You know what the doctors were? The theologians, the professors of theology. Here's a 12-year-old boy. Now, granted, not just any boy. But here's a 12-year-old boy sitting with all of the professors of theology. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. How would you like to be on the receiving end of Jesus giving you questions about the scriptures? And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And they said unto him, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Now notice this. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, now notice, she says, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Notice the loving correction of Jesus. She says, thy father and I have sought thee. Notice what she says, what Jesus said. He said unto them, not just Mary, says it to Joseph as well. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? He makes the correction of who his father is, and he establishes the principle that if we say we abide in Christ, we ought to walk as he walked. What does that mean? You and I ought to be about, first and foremost, our Father's business, with everything else, all of the responsibilities falling into place under that priority, right? So the first words of Jesus, I must be about my Father's business. Last words of Jesus, Revelation chapter 22. First words, I must be about my Father's business. Last words, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. I must be about my Father's business, and by the way, I'm coming soon. Jesus is coming soon, and one way or another, for us. He's coming soon. And beloved, may you and I be a people who are about our Father's business. May serving the Lord, seeking the Lord, investing in the Lord be the prominent and the preeminent thing in our lives. He is indeed coming quickly. And then John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to be like Abraham. Today is an altar day for me. You can come. You don't need to come and do this. You can do that sitting in your chair. The important thing is that we respond to the message with the determination to serve the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And I know many of you do that, and I thank God for that. But you know, I don't know about you, in this day and age that we live in, the nature of the world, the nature of the flesh, I can never be challenged enough. Because when I'm not, I'll get lazy. I'll get sluggish. And the only parable of the pounds that I will fulfill will be as a result of eating dinner today, and I'll get on the scale, that pound has gained 10 more. Lord, help us today to be people who live for the King and live for the kingdom. And know this, beloved, you know this in your heart. There will never be a sacrifice that you've made that when you stand before the Lord, you will regret having made it. In fact, I believe the opposite will be true, that I am going to regret all the opportunities that God gave me where I put myself first and not his kingdom. Lord, make that real in our hearts. And if you're here this morning and your heart has never been surrendered to Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The only eternity that waits for those who reject Christ is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire forever and ever. But Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, repent and believe the gospel. Trust Christ today. Trust him as a sinner. Trust your heart to the Savior today and commit your life to serving him, to seeking him, to honoring him.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.